Well, we are glad you're in services tonight. And if you haven't thought of it, you should think of it that you're glad you pay your tithes, because your tithes has heat in this building tonight, and heat is a good thing. And we had the funeral service for Joyce Livingston today, and maybe for some of you, but for me, she would almost every single service, she would either there in her seat or on the way out, she'd kind of let me have it about how cold it was in this auditorium and how it was unacceptable for it to be that cold in this auditorium. She was freezing. And so when we got out to the graveside today, I told everyone out there, I'm almost certain that when she got to heaven, she went to the Lord and said, I have one request and one only. When the pastor comes out to do my graveside, I want him to be frozen. And so let's make it as cold as it can and get even with him for me freezing all those church services. But we had a good service and appreciate everybody that was here and thankful for the good things that happened through that service. We're glad you're back in God's house tonight, and we're continuing on in our missions month. And so I'm going to say a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into another video time with a missionary tonight, a church planter, the Barfield family, and I think it'll be an encouragement to you. So let's pray, and then we'll get them up on the screens and have some conversation with them. Father, thank you so very much for already what you're doing in our hearts and lives in the area of missions this month, and we just pray that you'd continue to do so. And Lord, we thank you for the Barfield family, for their faithfulness there in Texarkana and the work that you've done in and through them. And God, we just pray tonight, even as we bring them in as a part of our service, and that, Lord, the things that are said and done, that it'll be an encouragement and help to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, you can be seated. And we'll get them up on the screen and spend some time in conversation with them tonight. There they are. Hello. Hi, Roan.
Yes, sir.
You can. All right. Well, it's been about 10 years since you were here in our missions conference. Our church has changed a bunch since then. And you can't see all of them, but there are a good number of people here tonight that were not here 10 years ago, and we thank God for that. And so let's do this. Why don't you just reintroduce yourself and your family, and so those that don't know you can get to know you tonight.
All right. Hey, it's good to see you all, Bethany Baptist Church. And I'm Tyrone Barfield, and my son Caleb, and my wife Cindy, and our daughter Sarah.
If you were here 10 years ago, Sarah looked way different. And so she has grown up into a beautiful woman, and we're thankful that you're a part of this as well. All right, so let's just get right into it. And I know you have a lot to tell us, but it's been 10 years. And so give us some of the highlights. Take us through that journey of 10 years, some of the highlights and some of the things that God's done.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 10 years. When we first started, I remember having probably about four or five kids that got saved. And I remember those kids. I remember Jamisha. What was her name? Kizmaje, Brandon. Most of the kids got saved, and they used to go saved and baptized them. And they were soul winning with us, knocking doors, and just excited about just coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. Just remember those days we used to take our cars and go around and pick up folks for church and just seeing just a number of people come to church and get saved just off the doors, and just seeing people's lives change when they come and how they get involved, and just, man, just excited about the things that God did here in Texarkana. Just numbers of people, old, young, mid-age, just young adults, and just seeing people, marriage was broken when they come to church, and just remember just the wife coming back to counseling with us, and she see things better happening because of the word of God, and just so thankful what God have done with Calvary Independent Baptist Church. But I got one young lady I remember, her name is, what was her name? Abby was 15 years old, and I never forget when her mom and dad, and They moved her to Texarkana from another independent Baptist church, and she was a very rebellious young lady. And I just remember we never said nothing to her. How the way she dressed, we said nothing to her. And I remember in the office how she disrespected her parents. And I never forget when the daddy walked out, and just not long after, I remember Cindy running out the office, running outside and saying, Abby got saved. And I never forget that. That was back in 2020. And Abby went to her mom and dad and said she needed to change her whole wardrobe, the way she dressed. A 15-year-old kid back in 2020. Just one of the highlights that I never forget, to see how God did this.
Amen. Well, again, glad that your whole family could join with us. And so we talked about this earlier this week, but just tell the church a little bit about how you are purposeful in serving together as a family and how important it is that everybody has a part. And tell us a little bit about what each family member does within the church.
Wow. Man, God's been really good to us. Me and Cindy, when we first got here, me and Cindy was doing everything. The kids was getting involved from the moment of time we first started. Kids started doing the sound. At 9 years old, he was working our sound. And Sarah was just tagging along. And all of a sudden, years go by, Sarah started picking up for the piano. And Caleb, he sings specials in church. Caleb, he does the finances in church. Caleb does the sound. He does the audio. He does everything here at the church. And Sarah, right along, tagging behind, just helping them. And they faithful. They knock doors. And they just have them involved. It's not just your kids just say, I'm just doing it just because of mom and daddy. You see their heart poured into it. You see the servant heart they're giving. They give it to missions. They faithful mission givers. They faithful tithers. Just when Cindy set the pace in the beginning, they seen their mama, they seen their daddy just serving them. And I just see the kids come right behind and do the exact same thing. And now Sarah's our piano player and Caleb, my song leader. He take care of everything. And me and Cindy just sit back, just excited. But answer your question, why it's so important that our family be involved. And I think about this verse in Ephesians 6:4, when they say, you fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up and nurture them unto the Lord. It's the father's responsibility is to lead us home and be a leader to their kids and not provoke them to live a good testimony, Christian life. And I think about, I believe in Deuteronomy, it's talking about teaching your kids the word of God as they rise up and lies down. And so it's just so important as a husband leading his wife and serving and just being there and just being a faithful servant to God. It's so important that you serve together according to the scripture of the Word of God.
Hey, amen. We had a missionary sometime back, and I remember leaving the restaurant and just having conversation with my own family and my wife about how excited the parents were for what God had in store for them, but you could tell the teenage kids not only had not bought into what mom and dad and the call in mom and dad's life, but they were resentful for the fact of what God was doing in mom and dad's life. And I had conversation that's going to be a real hindrance to that family as they go forward in the ministry if their kids won't get involved. And so Caleb, Sarah, I commend both of you that you not only, this isn't just mom and dad's ministry, this isn't something mom and dad do, but it's something your entire family's doing. And I can speak on behalf of a parent, there's nothing better than serving the Lord with your family. And so that's a wonderful thing. Sure. Well, and any one of you can jump in at any time, but no doubt in 10 years there are some discouraging times. And maybe that's Miss Cindy with your health over this last couple of years, but let's talk about some of those discouraging times and how the Lord came through in those times and showed himself mighty and strong.
Yes, sir. I know for me, the discouragement was for my health. And I feel like, I'm like, oh God, I was so helpful doing this and doing that, you know, and I couldn't jump back in right like I used to. I was just so used to doing everything. And it was exciting to do, you know. And I think God just brought me back, and it was able for the kids to jump in more, for me to be able not to be able to do things like I could. But it's very hurtful. But I thank God he came, stepped in. I'm still here. The doctors thought I wasn't going to make it, and I'm walking now. And I thank the Lord that he allowed me to come through that.
So health is back to close to 100%. We still have some room to grow. Have they figured out exactly what all's going on?
I'm still pushing. I'm still trying to get there. I'm still spitting in the cup. But yes, it's not there. It's not there at all. But still pray for me.
For sure. We'll do that. So other discouraging times, and we don't necessarily want to just focus on discouragement, but there's been some other times, no doubt. And so just share that with me, and again, how the Lord brought you through those times.
Yes, sir. I think about 2016, right when we came to y'all missions conference. And I remember Brother Preston, we was battling that you want me to come Sunday, and I said, I'll come Wednesday. But you said, no, I want you to come Sunday too. And I never forget that. But God, we was facing some financial. I mean, it was tough for us in 2016. And so we came to y'all missions conference. And I never forget y'all gave us, I hate to say that, well, it's too late now, man. I mean, man, we're all respected now. But y'all gave us $2,000, and I never forget. During that time that we didn't know how we was going to pay our bills. And y'all stepped right on in and paid our rent for the whole year. And it was month to month, and I'll never forget that. And then come to 2020, when we got the building here where we are now, we had like 25 people. And at that point, we lost everybody. And so I didn't know what to do. And I mean, the finances was down. I didn't know what to do, so I just wanted to start knocking on doors of business, asking their building. And so God used that business to help us to get on our feet and help take care of church at the same time, to support in that. And I never forget going through that, and then we lost everybody, dead people. Then we started gaining more people back, and people started coming, and met one gentleman. He looked us up, he came, and met another lady. We knocked on her door. She came. Then the numbers started picking back up. And then all of a sudden, it fell right back down. We lost everybody again. And all of a sudden, now we're back in point. People started coming back and visit again. Like since September, we have had 23 first-time visitors since September. But I remember going through those times of just discouraging times that when we had a drought on time out for 2 years. Nobody was sick from 2020. No, matter of fact, more than 2 years, from 2020 to 2023. I mean, nobody was sick. I mean, we have spurts. People come here and there. I mean, many doors were knocked on. Nobody was sick. Nobody was safe. And I know God is still in control. And I never forget when a preacher told me I need to close the doors. And I told him on the phone, I said, brother, God didn't call me to quit. I said, God called me here to preach the gospel to these people here in Texarkana, because we was down to nothing. One guy in the wheelchair, and that's what we was down to. But now God started to bring more people around.
Amen. Amen. Well, we appreciate your faithfulness in that, and no doubt to see that. And if you go back 10 years ago, and you probably didn't ever cross your mind that you'd have to start over a couple of times and build something and then lose and then build something. But certainly God has a purpose for that. Trying to juggle some bivocational work and the business with ministry, how do you do that? What's your schedule look like? And do you feel like it's just extremely draining on you to have to do that? Or again, I think you mentioned even that a lot of the family helps out with different parts of the business. So just share that part of it.
Well, be honest with you, Brother Preston, I love cleaning. It's not draining to me at all. I love cleaning, and I love witnessing to people. And what God did when back in Prime Love, I used to work 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, I mean 5 days a week, and work 6-7 doing on the weekend. And I'd be in church Wednesday night, be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, knocking on doors on Saturday. And I just believe God got me prepared then in Pine Bluff before we got here. And now I'm doing the exact same thing, but not working 7 days. But we was working 6-7 days and preach Sunday morning, preach Sunday night, preach Wednesday night. I had to prepare. And do I get tired? Yes, it's tiresome at times, but I just don't see. I'm just not discouraged. I just know people need to be saved, and we have a job to do. And when Paul said, endure hardness, and so that's what I think about. And I said, God got a purpose in us. So what we're doing here. So it's not draining at all. Preaching 4 times a week, and then run the business, and kids running. And I just told the kids this. I said, God is building you. I said, God is building you. This is exactly what you're doing. I said, I don't know the whole answer behind this. But God is building all of us, and especially when Cindy went down and me running back and forth to Dallas and 3 or 4 times a week to the hospital. And now that was draining. I had to go and come back because of the distance that I have to drive. But for us, this, man, it's exciting, to be honest with you. It's exciting to get out here and meet people at the different places and doing this and working. And I'm just excited about it.
Yeah. So 10 years ago, you raised support to start the church. Here we fast forward 10 years later. What percentage of the churches that took you on 10 years ago are still supporting you today?
Wow. I think I get... It's over 10. I know that.
Okay.
It's over 10 people. I know that. And that's still sending us a check and still supporting us. Now, some of them is 8 years and 7 years. A lot of them 7 and 8 years. But I say about 10 or 11 of them, or 12, okay, been supporting us for 10 years.
Sure. And that support still helps. It still means something to you. Not just to financially get a check in, but to know that there's a church family that still has your back, believes in what you're doing, and still willing to invest in you. That's an encouragement to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Major encouragement. As a matter of fact, I really appreciate y'all, Bethany Baptist Church, and just it's times that y'all didn't know that at one point we didn't know how we was going to eat. A check showed up. Who's able to get groceries?
Wow. Caleb, Sarah, you have anything you want to say? Want to sing a song?
I just want to say thank y'all dance. For listening to us, and I appreciate everything. I appreciate the gift you gave us when we first came down there too, as well.
Yeah, I don't remember what they were, but we still, to this day, we enjoy when it comes to Missions Month or Missions Week and missionaries come through. One of our favorite times of the year is just spoiling on those missionaries a little bit. Was you going to say something, Sarah? You don't have to.
thank y'all.
We talked about this, Brother Tyrone, but again, I'm not looking for a pat on the back. But I am looking for the members of Bethany Baptist Church to be encouraged to be faithful and remain faithful in their giving. And you spent a pretty good amount of time the other day on the phone just communicating what Bethany Baptist Church meant to you, the impact that our watch care over you even had on your kids. And so some of that you were sharing with me, would you share it with the church, kind of same stuff?
Yes, sir, most definitely. Bethany Baptist Church, I want to tell you that over the 10 years that I was telling Brother Preston, just you guys, I see it in my kids. your brother Preston, what Bethany Baptist means to us. I mean, y'all just thank you for the money that y'all give. It's your love, it's your compassion, your care, and that y'all is for missionaries, and thank you for your faithfulness. But my kids, the way they is right now, is because of you guys. People like you all have been such an impact in our life that words that can't even describe it. And when I was telling you all, Pastor, on the phone, and I appreciate Brother Preston, just his leadership, Brother Preston, everything, bro, just your care, your concern, your love. And I appreciate you, Bethany Baptist Church. It's my kids. It's because of people like you all. They are just like you all because of your testimony and your lifestyle that you live.
Amen. Well, and a church doesn't even, I've not communicated with them, but obviously I'll have the opportunity the last Sunday of March, to be with you all. And to preach there for you, and I'm so looking forward to that, and taking Miss Lisa with me, and just seeing still what God is doing there. Come into this 10th year, tell me some prayer requests, some things specifically that our church can do to pray for you, for your family, and things that you're passionate about that you'd say, I'd love for this church just to get behind us and pray for us over this.
Yes, sir. If you can pray for us, Brother Press, I was sharing with you the other day that we're starting a Bible Baptist church 15 minutes down the road in Ashdown. We got the building already. We got some things I've supplied. We got the piano already, some things we got supplied to spray. That God meet all those needs, and just pray for us, a pastor for the church, because we had somebody come and visit and check the town out, but they went another direction. So if you could pray for us, a man that could take that work at Bible Baptist Church in Ashdown, a town about 4,000 people. And then if you could pray for Cindy's health, that she become 100%. We're going to go back to Dallas to the Environmental Center, where that we get an answer, but we have some progress going. If you could pray for that, and just pray for us as a family, that we just continue to fight and serve, and just pray that we want to see 20 churches started in the next 20 years. Independent Baptist Church is planted 100 miles from us, going north, south, east, and west, Louisiana, Texas, and Oklahoma, and Arkansas, places that are needed. People in those towns, churches, no churches are there. Doors are not being knocked on there. If you could pray for that, us on that end.
So am I getting this correctly that you're wanting to make us grandparents? Like we started a baby church, and now you want to go start other churches and make us grandparents?
Yes, sir. There you go. You got it.
That's incredible.
Hey, let me say this, brother. Hey, brother, Preston, let me tell you this.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell you this. When I go preach, I talk about Bethany Baptist Church, the impact that they had on me and my family.
Amen.
Everywhere I go.
For those that were here 10 years ago, they remember you. You all had an impact on us as well. And that would be our greatest desire when it comes to church planting, is not just to plant churches, but to see those churches we plant go out and plant other churches, and more and more and more. And we're, in fact, going to talk about that more once we hang up tonight and in our time with the Word, and just the importance of planting churches all over this country. And so, well, we love y'all, and we're so appreciative of what you're doing. Stay faithful. Keep going. We got your back, and we love you. We're going to keep supporting you, and to trust the best days are yet ahead for the church there.
And we love you guys soon.
Bye. Bye.
God bless you.
Love you guys.
Yes, sir. All right. Brother Gerald, why don't you come lead us in a song?
Stand with me once again.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. Thank
Sing you.
Sing that chorus with me. For God
Thank you,
so love the world.
Yes, sir.
For God so love the
yes,
world. He gave his only son to die on Calvary's dream. From sin to set me free. Someday
All right, just want to touch on a few requests here. If you can, as Pastor mentioned earlier, Ms. Joyce's services were earlier today, just continue to be in prayer for Ms. LaDonna and for the Livingston family. An update on Brother Monty's surgery today went well. His pacemaker was removed. He is recovering. He's going to be staying the night. And we're just grateful to see God working in his life and everything going well there. There's some additional prayer requests on here. I just want you to keep in mind, just keep these in prayer. Brittany Rivera, she just got diagnosed with chronic kidney disease. Just keep that in prayer. Continue praying for Brother Joe Bussey. He had a detached retina. His surgery was on Thursday. I repaired it, but just be in prayer for the recovery there. Be in prayer for Melissa Kramer. She has ongoing vision issues. And be in prayer for Angela Martinez. The doctor found a bump on her left arm. It's not cancerous, but just be in prayer for those. Let's go ahead. Let's pray for these requests, and let's pray for our offering. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for just being the God that you are, for being holy and for loving us and blessing us and being gracious and merciful, Father. And I know you know each one of these needs. You know you're an active God. You know each one of these people. And we just ask that you'll be with these needs. You'll have your hand on their lives for the health. You'll take care of that, Father. And you'll just continue to guide each one of us. And Father, for tonight, I ask that you'll put it on each person's heart to just be a joyful giver, to, you know, seeing the Barfields and the impact that our giving can have on the world and the impact it has on the families that you have called and have sent to places where other people have not gone. We just ask that you'll bless this offering, you'll bless the giver, and you'll use this and multiply it so we can see Lubbock, our country and the world, reach the lost and see them come to know you. We'll give you all the honor and glory in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's take our Bibles and go to Acts chapter number 1 tonight. Acts chapter number 1. How many of you would have been here when the Barfields were here before and would have remembered them? Several of you. And I think we had them, and then the next year we had Brother Hamilton that was here. And man, those were just some good years. And if you could have seen Caleb and Sarah back then, I mean, they were like so many of the missionaries we bring through, and the kids were small, and we did so much for them. And now to see them serving right alongside Mom and Dad, and he didn't say as much on this as he did to me earlier in the week when we were talking, but just the heart for giving that both Caleb and Sarah have now, and how they're consistently looking for ways to give to others and give to other church planters. And he said it's something that they picked up right here at Bethany Baptist Church and experienced the blessings of receiving and how wonderful it was. And now God's put it on their heart to give and the same way. And so I'm so thankful. And my goodness, what a difficult work it's been for them. And I think a lesser family, a lesser man would have given up and quit a long time ago, and to build it to 20 and then see those people leave and then build it up and see those people leave and really kind of the third time around but to just still be there and still be faithful, that's such a blessing. Well, you don't need to stand, but look in your Bibles with me at Acts chapter 1 tonight, And just one verse, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And so we understand that in this text, Christ has ascended into heaven. The group of men and the early church was assembled together, and they had been instructed not to leave Jerusalem, but wait until they received further word. And in verse 6, when they were come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, what wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said unto him, "It's not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father hath put into his power, but ye shall receive power." And so the Lord's telling them, I'm not going to give you everything you need to do, but here's what you need to know. You're not going to receive that power at this very moment, but you're going to receive power. And we understand Pentecost is going to come. The Spirit's going to fill people. And he says the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And once that happens, this church, the very first church there in Jerusalem, he gives them instructions that they're to be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. And so his final command before ascending into heaven, it was not just a suggestion. He was giving us what we would call a mission. He's building on the Great Commission. And he's calling his disciples to be witnesses, and he's telling them start at home and then work out reaching all the way to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so we understand this, and I want to kind of just spend a little bit of time here tonight focusing on this, but missions is not just foreign lands. And sometimes when we think of missions and we think of missionaries, we immediately begin to think of Japan, or we think of Europe and England, and we think of Sri Lanka, or we think of South American countries. We think of them, but that's not the only part of missions that we're to be involved in. In fact, according to Acts 1:8, missions begins right here. Right here in Lubbock, right here in our own backyard, and it starts here and it moves out. And so I just want to show you three things out of this text tonight that I think we need to be reminded of. And the first is the power for the mission, the power for the mission. He says at the very beginning of that verse, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." All right, time out. Let's just think about this for a moment. Somebody gave the number today, 7 billion people in this world today. 7 billion. I didn't look that up. It's ever changing. It's ever growing. But that would be a good estimate. 7 billion people. And again, you get outside of the Bible Belt, and you get outside of the United States of America, and you get outside of Lubbock, Texas, and you go to other places like Japan, and you realize that the majority of those people, they're lost. They're on their way to hell. I don't know what you do or how you work, but occasionally if I'm someplace and there's a great crowd of people, maybe I'm given the opportunity to go to a basketball game or a baseball game or even some other type of event where there's a lot of people, I always tend to look around wherever I'm at and think to myself, I wonder how many people in this stadium. I wonder how many people in this room. I wonder how many people at this mall. I wonder how many people at this event are on their way to heaven. And the reality is, it's probably in most cases a fairly low percentage of those people that are saved. And to me, it can seem a little bit overwhelming. How can we reach this many people? I saw a video scrolling through X this week, and it was a place, I believe, in China, in Tokyo, and it showed the masses of people that were crossing this intersection throughout the day, And I mean, it was like ants. Like every few seconds, the light would stop and people would go. And it literally was like ants, the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And again, they're in Tokyo. The majority of them have never even heard the gospel. And so I sat back and I think, how in the world are we going to be able to do this? And I'll take it a step further. Sometimes we look at that and we think, wait a second, what's my $50 a month going to do to change that? How's my $100, $200, whatever you give? How's my $100 a week? What impact can it have on reaching this world with Jesus Christ? And humanly speaking, it will have very little impact. But here's what our text says. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so missions, it cannot be done and it will not be done by human strength. It's not going to be done because of some great strategy. But Jesus said it's going to be done because it's going to be powered by the Holy Spirit of God. Church planting in the U.S. is not just about starting organizations. It's about Spirit-filled believers who take their responsibility to reach the unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are so many towns in America without strong Bible-preaching, gospel-centered churches. If you'd ask me prior to week one of our missions month, you know, where are some of the needier places in our country? I would have probably went up in the Northeast somewhere. I've been in New York. I've been up in that area, and there's not a lot of churches. I maybe would have said California. I've went there, and I've heard people talk about the need in California. But you know what I would not have said? I would not have said Nebraska. And then Brother Jeremy Reagan comes and gives us the card that shows that the majority, not only of towns, but the majority of counties in the state of Nebraska are without a gospel-preaching Baptist church. And so there's so many cities, there's so many towns, and you think, what can we do about that? How can we do anything about that? Humanly speaking, we cannot. But I'm thankful in this promise that the Holy Spirit empowers, the Holy Spirit does a work that we cannot do if we'll just get on board with the Holy Spirit. And so there's a power that's behind that. But number two, there's a pattern for missions. And this is really what I want to focus on. He says, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So there's a pattern that is given here. He said, if you're going to reach the world, and the Holy Spirit's going to help you do this, if you're going to reach the world, here's how you need to go about it. You need to start in Jerusalem, and then you need to go out to Judea, and then you need to go out to Samaria, and then you need to go out to the uttermost parts of the world. Here's the problem that most missions programs have. They skip the Jerusalem, the Judea, the Samaria, and they go straight to the uttermost parts of the world. I mean, we are ready to jump on board to support missionaries, to go all throughout this world and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we ourselves are not willing to go across the street and tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not looking at our own city. We're not looking at our own state. Hey, we have several independent Baptist churches here in town. But you take the 300,000 plus that are in this area, think with me, how many would each church have to run if we're going to reach Lubbock with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And so there's a pattern. Missions start at home. It expands outward. So what is Jerusalem? Jerusalem is our Lubbock. It's our local community. So we have to ask ourselves, are we reaching our own neighbors with the gospel? But then we go out into Judea, our state, our nation. Church planting in America is vital. There are more churches closing their doors every single year, every single week, than are being started. We are dying, not moving forward. We're going backwards, not forward. And so there are places, yes, right even here in the Bible Belt, where churches are dying and the truth is fading. And then there's Samaria. It can be looked at a couple different ways. Samaria could be a further regions out than just your state. But Samaria could also indicate hard places. Places where you would go, like this Sunday, Mark Martinez is going to be here and he's going to be preaching for us. And God has led him to Boulder, Colorado to plant a church. That's hard. It's as liberal as can be. I'll never forget the first time that I was in Boulder. Well, one of the first times I was in Boulder, and we went to a restaurant there. And we were sitting at the restaurant, and it was by a window, kind of down by the college and area and in the downtown area. And we're eating dinner, and like seven people dressed like Smurfs just ran by. And we all looked at each other, our whole family, like, did I just see what I think I saw? Was there people dressed like Smurfs? I never have figured it out, but I thought to myself that day, I was like, this is a weird place. And the more time I spent there, the more I realized it's a weird place. It's a liberal place. People don't want, they don't want God. And there's a reason they go there. And they worship their health and they worship the mountains, but they don't need God. It's a very difficult place. But we can't overlook those places that are difficult and hard. We have to plant churches there as well. And then, of course, the uttermost parts. Yes, we can't just focus here, but we must support global missions. We cannot neglect the missions field in our own country, but we cannot neglect other mission fields. And one of the things that we do, just so you know, is we're very cognizant when a missionary calls, and we do look at the fields they're going to, and sometimes if we support multiple missionaries in that field, we'll not have them in because we're more looking for places where we don't have a representation, and we do want missionaries that we support on every continent and every country. And so it's a wonderful thing to have the last couple of years some missionaries to the Czech Republic come through because they're so limited there. So as we think about church planting, as we think about reaching our nation, I just want to give you a little bit of an update tonight about what we do and who we support. And says many of you may not realize. Not all of these have even come through. Many of them, I know the church they're sent out of, or we've gone to the Church Planters Conference in Oklahoma City, and they've presented there, and we've taken them on for support. And so what did we say our total number was, Brother Gerald? 14? 13? Yep. Okay, 13 church planters that we support at this very moment. And so we've got a guy by the name of Michael Wiggins, and he's planting, and sometimes it's either planting or salvaging a ministry, and I think in his case he's salvaging a ministry, the Grace Tabernacle Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. And so I don't know how many of you even knew we had a church planter in Alabama, but we do. And then how many of you would remember S. Murky de los Santos? And he was here in our missions conference somewhere after that, and the Colonial Baptist Church in Rogers, or as he said it, Rogers, Arkansas. And he's doing a great job, and we're still supporting him.
It's 13 states, but 18.
13 states, 18 church plants. And so, yeah, there. That's the good number. I should have wrote that down. S. Murky's doing a great job. A lot of times what we'll do, just so you know, with these church planters, we'll commit to them for a couple of years. And then after 2 years, if we feel like they're doing a good job and the church is growing and it's self-supporting, and then we'll pull our support and give it to somebody else. But as you see others 10 years down the road, they're not quite to a place where we can take them off support, but we believe so much in what they're doing that we continue to support them. We have a guy by the name of Charles or Chuck Marino in North Hills Baptist Church in San Marcos, California.
And that was kind of a restart of a church. It was a church that David Hetzer originally planted, and then David Hetzer left, and the church just went through some hard times. And then Brother Charles Moreno, and out of Fritch, Texas, and he went up there and he planted or restarted that church and is doing a good job. And then we also have A.J. Harold from the Solid Rock Baptist Church in Bellflower, California. So two out in California. And then I said, already said Mark Martinez in Boulder, Colorado. But then we also have Justin Garber, the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lyons, Colorado. And that's a very, very difficult area. If you left Loveland and was headed up to Estes Park, you would go through Lyons. And it's a small, small community, but one that does not or has not up till now had a gospel church, preaching church. And so Justin's there. It's going to be a slow, hard work. We'll probably support him for a good long time. And then Keith Drinkard, he was actually here, Ironwood Baptist Church in Leawood, Kansas. They're doing a good job. You might recognize this name, but Jaron McFarlane out of Oxford Baptist Church in Oxford, Maine. And man, we're so thankful for Brother Jaron and his faithfulness and God just continuing to work in that church. And it is slow, slow going in places like up there in Maine where he's at. But they've just been faithful. And slowly but surely, they're growing. And I've told Jaron this. I've told several others of these church planters this, that a living organism is always growing. It's always growing. It may not be growing fast, and that growth may not always be apparent to our eyes, but it's always growing. And so just keep going, because there's growth taking place even when you don't see it. And then Brother Adam Rivero, Liberty Baptist Church in Easton, Massachusetts. And he's just done a great job there, but still had some family issues, so we've continued to support them. And then Charles Hamilton, King James Bible Baptist Church in Greenville, Mississippi. And he was here, of course, the year after. And the Barfields, and he was a preaching machine, if you remember him. And it was a baseball player, and God called him to into the ministry. And then, of course, Jeremy Reagan, who was here our first Sunday, Solid Rock Baptist Church, Grand Island, Nebraska. And then we have Aaron Nelson, Crown Point Baptist Church in Crown Point, New Mexico. They're doing a good job. Really appreciate Brother Nelson, and he represented himself really well. And then in New York, actually, right there in New York City, Brother Pete Montoro and his son Andrew Montoro, one in Brooklyn, one in Riverhead, New York, and God's doing a work in both of those places. And then here in Texas, and we have a young man, he's not been here. I've known him for a long time, out of Eric Crawford's church in Hazlett, Texas, Jonathan Moore. And he took a church replant or restart, the Twin City Baptist Church, in the Bryan College Station area. And that's, I mean, it's a needy area there. You would think in a town like that, there would just be churches everywhere, but there's not. And then you'd recognize Micah Lassiter. And he came out of Arden Road Baptist Church, started the Sun City Baptist Church in El Paso. And then we met him tonight again, Tyrone Barfield, the Calvary Independent Baptist Church in Texarkana. And then most recently, we took on Gary Tunnell. And Brother Gary was on staff with Brother Denson as well. And then went up to Port Orchard, Washington, and to restart a church up there, the Northwest Baptist Church. Just been up there for a short time, and we're supporting him while we wait and see what God's going to do there. And so I'm thankful for what God is allowing us to do in the area of church planting and church planters. But that list, as wonderful as it is and as proud as we are, it probably needs to be three or four times that long. And if we're going to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our Samaria with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we cannot lose sight of church planting. And it would be my desire. Sometimes we put so much focus on our young people. Maybe God call you to be a missionary. Maybe God would call you to be a missionary. I'd love if God would raise some young men up out of our church to go plant churches. Almost every month I get a text from somebody that says, hey, Brother Preston, could you recommend a good church down in the San Antonio area? And there are some churches down there, but depending on where they're at, they're few and far in between, right here in our state. Hey, preacher, what's down in this area? What's down in this area? And I'll shoot out a text to several pastors. Do you know of a church in this area? Do you know of a good church in this area? Do you know a church that'd be like Bethany in this area that I could recommend someone to? And more times than not, I get, really, there's not a lot there. Really, there's not a lot in that area. And so even in our state, kind of right here in the Bible Belt, we need churches planted. But then you begin to reach out and go further. I mean, how many cities in New Mexico? How many little towns in New Mexico? How many little towns as you get out of Texas and work your way up into Kansas and again on into Nebraska? How many little towns are without any type of gospel-preaching Baptist church? So there's a purpose for missions, and that's the end of this. God's plan for reaching the world has always included the local church. And here's what strong churches do. Strong churches not only support missions and start churches and help people start churches, but strong churches start churches. It just happens sometimes. Okay, we're almost done. It just happens sometimes that you have a family, a husband and wife, and they get married. And God, for whatever His purposes and reasons are, God chooses to not give them children. And that's okay. God's ways are always perfect. But if we're being honest, we look at a couple who God never allows them to have children, we kind of look at them and think, man, I'm sorry. Sorry. I don't know what God's doing, but that's just... it's really not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, husbands and wives are supposed to get married, raise children, have grandbabies. They're awesome. That's the way this is supposed to be. And so we kind of feel sorry for them. And deep down, they always feel like, man, we're missing out. We're missing out on something. We can accept where God has and we can accept God's plan, but... I mean, if we could turn things around, if we could change things, we'd love to have had a child. And maybe they adopt a child, and that's a wonderful thing. But here's my point. It's equally as sad of a thing for a church to never start other churches. It's a lot like parents who never have children. They can have a great marriage, something's always missing. And it should always be our goal, not just to financially support church planting, not just to reach the uttermost parts of the world, but it should always be our desire to be planting churches out of Bethany Baptist Church. And so it's been my heart's desire since I've been here. We're always going to have some type of intern on staff with the idea that they're going to plant something. And sometimes it's foreign missions. We had it with Colin and Callie, and it was our desire to help them get started. And now we have Nathaniel, and I believe God's going to raise Nathaniel up, and he's going to go, right now the plan is, back to Japan someday and be a missionary there for us. But at some point in the very near future, I'd love to bring on another young couple and train them and let them be brought up and raised from Bethany Baptist Church, and then send them out to go plant a church, to go take this church that Brother Barfield's starting there, and to even go into other cities close to Lubbock that need good Baptist churches and plant churches. There's nothing like the joy that kids bring. And then there's even greater joy of grandkids. So imagine with me the great joy that comes from Bethany Baptist Church planting churches and then watching the churches we plant churches. There's just no greater joy. And so every church planted, it is a lighthouse in this dark world. And every investment that you give into missions, whether through giving, praying, going, it pushes the gospel farther. And I just want us to never, ever, ever lose sight. That's my focus this night, that we would never lose sight of the importance of church planting and the importance of not only reaching England and Japan, but reaching Lubbock and Texas and even Oklahoma. We know they need Jesus and places out there. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed.